There are several themes running through these readings today. The first one is conversion and call. Now, the conversion experience is unique to each person, but there are similarities that are universal. And one is, at least according to these three readings, one of those is that when you encounter God, you are struck with God's perfection and holiness and your own sinfulness and unworthiness. And we see that in all three of these readings. Isaiah has this vision of God, and he says, "Woe is me, because I'm a man of unclean lips and living among a people of unclean lips." And he doesn't say, "Depart from me," but that's the general notion there. And then one of the seraphim flies to him and takes an ember out of the burning fire and touches his lips with it and said, "Your lips are purified." And with Peter, he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And St. Paul in that second reading says, "I'm the least of the apostles. In fact, I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church." You might remember the story when Paul experienced a revelation from the risen Lord. He heard this voice saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" Me meaning the church, because that's his body by then. And so Paul considers himself a redeemed sinner, someone who didn't get to be an apostle, didn't get to be a missionary, or anywhere that he is without grace, without the favor of God. And so he says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." So the second thing is that there's a proclamation of the word in many cases. And so Jesus is proclaiming the word. He's preaching, teaching to them from the shoreline. And the crowds are so impressed by what he says that they're pressing in on him. And so he gets into this boat, Peter's boat, and asks him to pull out from shore a little distance so that he can have some distance between himself and them. And then he continues for who knows how long teaching them. And they're enthralled. But there's something a little unique about Peter, because after Jesus finishes teaching, he asks Peter to go out into the deep water and lower his nets for a catch. And he's asking Peter to go deeper than the rest, because you can hear the word and it can wash over you and not transform you. But he asks Peter to go deeper, to go deep down into his soul and absorb that message from God, that grace, that reconciliation, and that truth. And Peter becomes an apostle. He becomes a missionary. He goes all the way to Rome and dies there. And initially, he drops his nets, leaves his boat and his father, and follows Jesus for the rest of his life. So there's this deep conversion experience that comes from a deeper reflection than the rest of the crowd. Well, Jesus goes through a similar thing. He spends 40 days in the desert reflecting on his baptism. And there, in deep prayer and reflection, he comes to the knowledge of who he is as God's son. And in Luke's gospel, a couple of times, he mentions that Mary ponders these things in her heart. You know, she goes deep, and she reflects on them at length, basically for the rest of her life. So every Sunday, we hear the word of God proclaimed from the ambo, and we hear it explained in a homily. And, you know, we can just let that wash over us and not change us at all. You know, there are people who have been hearing the gospel all their lives and aren't very transformed by it. But you can go deeper, too. And you can reflect on it the rest of the week, and you can pray about it, and you can allow it to transform you, okay? And then the third element that's in these readings is mission. After Isaiah has this encounter, this reconciling, healing encounter with God, where he's deeply aware of his own sinfulness and his unworthiness, and yet he hears the word of reconciliation from the angel, and he says, "Here I am, send me." In other words, he becomes a prophet. He becomes someone with outreach, with a missionary spirit, that he realizes that this vision he's had wasn't just for him, that somehow it has to be extended to others for it to be real. And Paul has that same missionary spirit. After he has this healing encounter with the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, he spends the rest of his life spending himself. And he goes through imprisonment and beatings and shipwreck and eventually dies as a martyr because this has radically transformed him. And that transformation grows deeper and deeper as his life goes on and as he spends himself and giving himself. And Peter the same way. Peter stands for the church in the gospel stories. And so Peter is like you and me. He says beautiful, significant things, and he says stupid things too. And he has great insight. You are the Son of God. And then he makes foolish decisions right after that. That's us, you know. We have the ability, the grace to really encounter God. And yet there's something in us that's too attached to the world, too fearful, too self-absorbed, too lazy. You know, whatever is going on in our lives at any given moment, we've all experienced every one of those failures. And yet we feel called to. We feel called to the kingdom. We feel called to be sent. And in fact, every time we leave Mass, there's a sending. Ite missa est in the Latin means literally in English, go having been sent. And missa is the same root word as missionary. So there has to be a missionary spirit about everything we do here every Sunday. That we recognize that this is not just for us, but it's for the world. And we are sharers in the priesthood of Christ by virtue of our baptism. And what do priests do in the Old Testament? They pray and offer sacrifice for the rest. And so we're praying here and we're offering sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ and our own, but not just for our benefit, but for the world. And so in this Eucharistic prayer that we usually pray on Sundays, there's one line in there that says, may this reconciliation that we have received bring salvation to the whole world. Because we're not just concerned about ourselves, but we're concerned about the other as well.